Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the military might be rushing to a little bit of judgment. I know that's shocking to everybody, but there was a memo released this week that says people who have tested positive for coronavirus are permanently disqualified.
Dun, dun, dun.
Permanently disqualified. Round number two, I've had it with these motherfucking devil dogs on this motherfucking plane. At least that's how one man felt when three yoked infantry bubbas took him down for acting out in a plane's bathroom, also known as the what, Kate? Do you remember?
Jerking it.
No, not jerking it. What is a bathroom called in the Marine Corps? See if Katie Valor strikes again. What is a bathroom called, Kate?
Latrine.
Oh my God, it's a head called, Kate. Oh my God. Round number three. Kate Quizzler, she informed us that there's a hilarious twist to this one. And boy, I can't wait. Round number four, wow. He went from jumping on Oprah's couch to hopping on a rocket to the International Space Station. NASA confirms that Tom Cruise will be shooting a movie in outer space. Round number five, GoFundMes can be great, but they can also be incredibly cringe-inducing. The Army would like to remind those in uniform that you can't be shaking your internet cup at a timeline passerby. And finally, round number six, every troop in the world hates the SIF. We are going to close the show with some hate and discontent from the platoon, and all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at ExpressVPN. If you're stuck at home and you're not bouncing around the internet to different areas all over the globe, you are making a mistake. You got to make sure that you are protected on the internet, and that's why we never go online without using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN makes sure your internet service provider can't see what sites you visit. Instead, your internet connection is routed through ExpressVPN servers. Now, if you want to see, because like ESPN, they're going to have, I think it's six Korean baseball league games. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if you fall in love with Korean baseball? Next thing you know, you can't watch your beloved Dips play. That's how it's supposed to go down.
People are watching the Dinos, right? It was the team that was just playing.
You can't watch your Dinos play.
Your precious Dinos.
Yeah.
Your precious, your beloved Dinos.
Yeah, by the way,
you can. You just got to hop onto a little ISP over in, whatever the fuck it's called in Korea, and you can
VPN
down on your Dinos that way. And you can do it with a discount if you go to expressvpn.com/zero, because you're going to protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to secure our privacy. Visit our special link at expressvpn.com/zero. You can get an extra 3 months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/zero, expressvpn.com/zero. Let's start the show.
Spork is lingering. And so I always do a little Instagram post, Zero Blog 30 times Spork, and I post it, and he's licking his asshole right now, right?
Hell yeah.
That's on brand.
It was the perfect shot. So while Chaps is reading that ad, I was like, gotta get this asshole shot. And so it was the perfect timing. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Two Anna references early, and one happened earlier this week in question number four, and now it happens already at the top of the show today. But it's still, we're back. It's a brand new edition. Things are going well for me. How are things going for you all? Kate, we'll start with you.
Well, I did the calculations, and I have not touched another human being since March the 6th. So now I'm over 2 months with no human contact, and I gotta tell you, getting weirder and weirder every week. It's really starting to get old, Kate. But that's okay. We're doing fine.
That's an interesting stat.
I had a guy yesterday, because you see people now when you're out in public or if they come by. There's a dude yesterday that was trying to get me to change Bugman. like the different people that come and spray for roaches and bugs around your house. A guy has a Segway. He's just cruising through my neighborhood on a Segway with his little iPad. I thought he was like the meter reader dude that was going around seeing how much water you get, because that's how they collect it too. He pulls up. He comes to the door, knocks on the door. I go and answer it. And I'm like, this has got to be the worst time in human modern history to be a door-to-door salesman. I open the door, and pretty far back, he's wearing a mask. He's like, how do you feel about your bug treatment, people? Are they treating you well? And I'm like, man, I don't want to talk to you about fucking bugs right now, dude. Yeah. I'm not going to come outside and shake your hand and talk about bugs. I'm sorry, bro, but you got to go.
You got to get out of there.
It's just so awkward. Like when the UPS man comes and delivers something, you have like those weird like, should I come?
Yeah.
You want me to sit down?
Is it you?
You don't know what to do? Yeah. There was one that I had to actually sign for, and the FedEx dude is like handing it to me, and I'm like trying to grab it, but I'm like, you want to set it down on the bench? What are we going to do here?
Very awkward times for a lot of stuff.
Everything is going to be so different when we go back to normal life, like just being around people.
Because, weird. Also, you have to default and just assume whoever you interact with is more freaked out than anyone else, and you have to go to that level. You have to assume that they're just unable to talk or touch anyone and very afraid. So that's what you're going to just have to default to.
I'm at the point now where if the bug man came to my door, I'd be like, you want to just touch elbows real quick, man? Just bare skin elbows with
Let's
each
kiss.
Other? Yeah, do you want to just make out real quick? I would make out with the bug man. That's where I'm at. But other than that, I was talking about my couscous earlier in the last episode. I tried to make my own like pasta sauce last night. So things are good.
And you didn't do terrible. It wasn't like it was from like a fancy place like the Olive Garden.
Right. But it was, yeah.
It's a rousing endorsement.
An attempt was made. It turned into more of a noodle soup than it was a sauce, but I still ate it.
I think that'll come with time.
You gotta do.
You'll get better at monitoring those ingredients and you'll get better.
Before we get to cons, there is one thing that I have enjoyed very much about the new policies of places. All these places that offer curbside pickup is incredible. I hope that never goes away. I love going on Lowe's.com, putting something in there, and then just parking, texting them that I'm out there, and they bring it on out. It's just it's a lazy person's dream.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see when this all shakes out and passes, what practices from right now are maintained beyond when we go back to quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, because we had emails from my kid's school that was saying even next year they might do half days. They're going to have to cut the classrooms in half so they have enough space in there. And then the kids are going to have to learn from home half a day. Luckily, I work from home. My wife works from home. What the fuck do you do if you have to go back to a regular job? Yeah,
true.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think it's interesting is you're seeing, like, especially in New York City with these big financial firms, they're realizing, wow, we're getting so much of our work done remotely. And granted, you know, I think there is something to be said for in-person meetings, but when the majority of your work can be done away from an office without interacting physically with other people, I think you're going to see a shift in how people operate from now on.
It takes away a lot of overhead, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. When you consider what rent costs to have a floor in an office building in New York City, forget it.
Yep.
Also,
Go ahead.
I just hope that mixed drink booze delivery doesn't go away, because that's been that's been a big bonus. Ordering a margarita to your door, not mad about it. So yeah.
We don't have that around here, but I can imagine it would be fucking lovely. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that would be bad about a margarita, I guess you could tell them no ice, right? Like if they just make the margarita and bring it to you no ice, because I'd be worried they'd be super watered down.
Oh no, there's a place here right down the block that makes in bulk these slushy drinks. And they put them at just the right temperature, and then they like rush them over to you, and it is a treat, I tell you.
That is a treat.
I know, not bad.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to watch all these different companies and businesses adapt. But I'm going to try again this weekend to play golf. I have a tee time on Sunday.
I do too.
So I'm very, very fingers crossed. I don't see any reason why this one would be canceled. The weather is supposed to be excellent on Sunday, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And then the other thing that happened this week that I thought was, I don't know, somewhat interesting, because this is something I wouldn't normally do. We watch a lot of Shark Tank, and a while ago there was this thing on Shark Tank called the Simply Fit Board with this older woman and her middle-aged daughter-in-law or daughter, someone, I don't know, and they have this board where you just kind of like twist on it or whatever, and all of a sudden we were just sitting there one time like, Should we get that thing we saw on Shark Tank? Because we're just, you know, I can only come up with so many different ways to work out without a gym.
Right.
And you get bored. So it's like, it's $30 if it sucks. Whatever. So well, now I got this Simply Fit board and I'm just...
I bet wacky home shimmying and shaking. Shit is flying off the shelves right now, for sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's been posts about fitness bros that are taking over like playgrounds, that they're doing their douche stuff, like trying to do these extreme workouts out there.
I went to get gelato the other day, very necessary thing to do, and I found a spot off the main street on a side street to sit and do it, but a lot of the buildings here have scaffolding. There was a guy doing a full workout on the scaffolding of a building, just his pull-ups, his lean back things, his everything he was using it for. I was like, that's smart. Why not?
If you guys had to guess one industry that has boomed since this, besides like home delivery and shit like that, what do you think it would be? This is kind of where I'm setting you up for failure, because I have a very specific
This is classic Chaps, but I would say that the virtual workout industry, so you look at the Pelotons of the world, and
Peloton's doing great.
If you're a fitness instructor, if you can find a way to get online and give classes online, I would say that.
Okay, any guesses?
Sex toys.
Nope, that's not what I was looking for, but you're probably right. The answer that I was looking for was the bike industry, period. If you go on almost any website now, Amazon, if you go to Walmart, Target, whatever, finding a beach cruiser bike is so difficult. They're all sold out everywhere. We finally found one for Annalise yesterday, where she, because she's a tiny lady, so she had to get a 24-inch bike. I found one finally for me. I got a 26-inch Margaritaville bike.
Nice.
It's like Jimmy Buffett on it. It has parrots and shit painted on the side. The horn on the top is a parrot. There's a basket where I could put Sprinkle Dinkles in her spaceship, and we're just gonna cruise around. The whole squad's got bikes now.
Yeah,
we'll be doing morning bike weekend rides.
Dude, my dad texts and calls me all the time. Hey man, it's so great that I have a bike. I go down and cruise the beach, and it really is such a lifesaver for him, because even walking, that gets boring after a while. You can only listen to so much music or podcasts. You just don't want to walk anymore. It's boring.
And let me just say this about bikes. I am done with bikes that have, you have to shift gears. I don't want to do that.
Yep.
I just want to fucking pedal, bro.
I'm not Lance Armstrong.
Put down my pocketbook and pedal.
Yeah, I'm not Lance Armstrong. I want one gear. That's all I need. Like,
I'm
old
not
school.
Trying to lean over. I want a fat bottom seat so my asshole doesn't bleed. And I just, and I don't want to lean over too far. Yeah. That's not too much to ask.
No.
Kate, I gotta say, you are struggle busting with yawning. You've eaten like 10 yawns on the show already.
I'll be totally honest. A side effect of my depression medication is it's constant yawning. I had to Google it because I was like, I was like, I cannot stop yawning. What the fuck? And I Googled it, and that's a side effect of it, weirdly enough. Yeah.
And remember when I was talking a couple weeks ago where I wasn't getting very deep sleep, where I was just – that's a huge side effect of mine, where you're just constantly aware. I don't want to be aware ever, much less all the time.
I know. I've been trying to hide it. Every time I'm on the FaceTime with my parents, they're like, you're always yawning. I'm like, honest to God, I cannot help it. There's just certain days where it just is – every 10 seconds I'm doing it, and it's all day long. I'm like, fuck me. Yeah, it's very weird. So sorry if I seem super bored with you guys.
No, I'm like, I thought that was kind of entertaining, but I guess not. So, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my big escapades yesterday. 5 hours I spent outside yesterday doing my truck. I got the head unit installed. I got the reverse camera installed. Everything works correctly. It looks pretty good. I made some mistakes with the Dremel tool. The Dremel tool is hard to get precise whenever you're doing something like that. Got to make some slight adjustments there. Doing the speakers this weekend. Overall, I am very satisfied with how my truck is turning out.
From the before and after, when you're talking about all the changes you make, I was like, but now seeing them, I was like, they were the perfect changes. That worked out really well.
Chaps, I think the head unit now in 2020, when you consider what cars are now, if you get a brand new car versus what they used to be in terms of the music and navigation, I think it's just so necessary. I always say, I can respect when I see an old car going down the road, like a 67 Corvette or, you know, whatever. And I'd be like, oh, that's cool. But I think
an old pool car. Ooh, I would never.
The Buick LeSabre.
The seats are not leather.
I need a new Mercedes, Daddy.
Daddy, papa.
But I don't know that I would enjoy driving something like that all the time with all the old school radio knobs and such for as cool as they are.
My old Honda CRV, God bless her, wherever she is.
It's still yours. It's not your old one. Yeah. It still technically belongs
to you. Do you legitimately not know where that thing is?
Hand to God. Zero clue.
There's no way she'll find it now. I mean, yeah, it's been gone for months in New York. That thing is way gone.
But when I did have her, driving down like a major highway, it was so old that the sound, you could hear the road pretty much right through it. Mm-hmm. And I would have to have the radio at top blast to hear my car over the road. Like, that's how bad it was. The sound system was terrible. But on a long road trip, it kills you after a while. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I've been amazed at how much money I save, like, doing all this stuff myself. When I bought my stuff for my old truck, I spent like $1,500, $2,000 on putting all the different shit in. Now I've probably spent way less than half of that doing everything myself. So I've been very proud of myself. It feels accomplished. I talked about finding a hobby, and I think I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. You called me super pumped the other day about the changes you made. I love it. It's exciting when you find something you're into that you're like, oh shit, this is going
to
be cool.
And something that you didn't think you'd ever really be able to do.
Yeah.
And I think you appreciate it more having done it yourself.
Oh, definitely. When I walked out, I had to take my kid to turn in their like books for high school and stuff today, which is depressing since it's only May 7th and I want their asses out of my house.
Yeah. So,
but like I got in and like just putting it in reverse and seeing the whole screen light up with the backup camera and it came on perfectly, like the lines and everything. I was like, fucking hey, man, I did that myself. That's awesome.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Let's get into the actual stories of the day. Because there is some military stories, finally, that, well, they are coronavirus related, but they're not really at the same time. One, because there are these disqualifiers. We'll start off round one with doing a little disqualifiers. There are these disqualifiers that you have, and you can't join the military no matter what. Like, for instance, a felony. If you have a felony, a violent felony on your record before you join, no branch is going to take you. There was a time in the early 2000s where the Army would take you if you had a violent felony in the past, but that's long gone. Nobody can get in with a felony. You can't get in if you have multiple drug tests and rehabs for like meth or heroin, hard drugs. You can't do that. You can have a waiver for weed and things like that, but nothing really hard. There aren't very many hard, fast no's that are disqualifiers permanently if you're trying to join the military. Now there's a new one, and it is coronavirus. If you test positive for coronavirus, according to military.com's Megan Myers, she wrote an article about it on militarytimes.com. They actually go into detail about what the memo is saying, because you're having to adapt. All the military branches are having to adapt new policy on the fly. And I think that what they're doing is just saying, you know what? This is kind of a scary thing. We don't know all the ramifications. We don't know what's going on in the future. So right now, we're just throwing a blanket, absolutely not across the board. Is that kind of what you guys got from it too?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it's still so new, they don't know they don't know enough about it. So they'd rather just erring on the side of extreme caution and just saying a blanket statement like this versus trying to come up with all these different stipulations.
Because when I first saw it, I thought this story is ridiculous. But as Megan lays it out, it kind of makes a little bit of sense whenever you're thinking about the long-term ramifications of something like this. And they said it'll be permanently disqualifying because they're not sure what it could do compared to other viral or non-chronic illnesses. But they know right away that there could be long-term respiratory damage from the virus, or that's long lasting, it's permanent. Also taste, there's certain things that it could really affect you long term where they're just not willing to risk it right now. And they could always take this back,
right?
But getting a waiver for something like that is surprising that they would say absolutely not.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things that it's just going to take time. It's going to take, I wonder how long though, maybe a year or two or whatever of trials of, you know, it'll be nice. If you've had coronavirus, I bet you soon, if you need a couple bucks, there's going to be a lot of studies coming out where they need.
Dude,
oh, yes. Yeah.
We'll give you $100 to run around this track 3 times or whatever. So stay tuned to that if you need a little extra BEERRUN dollars.
Whoa. And I think that certain things that are popping up after coronavirus, like life after you have tested positives, is very interesting. Rudy Gobert, the power forward or the center for the Utah Jazz, saying that he couldn't taste anything for a long time, couldn't taste or smell. Like, yeah, it really could affect you long term, which in the military, if you can't taste or smell,
good thing.
You're a step ahead of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. You think they'd be trying to bring those people in. You're in charge of the Kandahar Poupon now, son. Good for you.
But, you know, the fact that it is a respiratory disease, that makes sense for the military when so much mm-hmm. of what we do is physical and you need to have the ability to breathe. So I get the caution here that they're taking.
If asthma is a disqualifier, right. I could see this being one too.
Right.
But, oh my God, it does make you a little bit sad because, you know, there are some kids who that's their dream, their life
right.
dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
like the kid that
get...
said that you're disrespecting a future Army veteran.
Right, exactly. So
love yeah, that guy.
And there's so many force protectors out there, future force right. protectors that yeah.
So but... many people have so many affliction shirts for no reason.
Exactly. They have them all ready to go. They're all ironed
out. I just picture the guy looking in his closet. When the hell am I supposed to wear these now?
What am I supposed to do with all this gear, man?
Man.
I had my own canteens, I had everything. I was ready.
Already carrying my sea bag around in town. But yeah, that is sad though for people who know they've had it and they really wanted to join. And now, like, they're probably gonna have to wait at least.
Well, there
a
is some
years.
Bad policies as far as like you can't go in. I know people firsthand that have had issues where they needed to see a mental health provider and they were prescribed different medicines like an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medicine. And that could be disqualifying for a certain period of time. We look at things like that and say, hey, you got the help that you needed. We don't want you now. Like you did what was responsible. We don't want you. Instead, what went through my mind here, there is going to be a kid who tested positive or who had all the symptoms of coronavirus and never got the positive diagnosis that is going to be at boot camp. And they are going to have the moment of truth where he puts his little head down or her little head down onto the table. And they're like, okay, I know one of you motherfuckers in here had goddamn coronavirus. Yeah. Which one is it? Which
one
is it?
Do the antibody test. So they're going to find out.
Oh, sir, this recruit had coronavirus in 2020, but it was never officially diagnosed.
That was me with weed at that moment. I was like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. My recruiter told me to lie, and I was like, oh my God, should I? Thank God it didn't.
Sheesh. Which one of you didn't wear a fucking mask when you're out in public?
Everyone, if you're listening, you're joining.
It was an N95, but I had a mask. Oh,
keep
I got
your
the
head
t-shirt
down,
around
no
my
what.
Mouth. Yeah, I felt like shit the other day because when I went to go to Lowe's, I forgot to bring a mask because I knew I wasn't going to go inside, so I didn't bring one. And the lady that brought the stuff out from Lowe's looked so disappointed in me. Like I felt legitimately crushed at my own irresponsibility. When she brought it up, she was like, she's like, oh, I see you don't have a mask. I'll just put it in the back seat.
Oh man, burn.
I got fucking roasted.
People here are mask shaming hard. There's a neighborhood in the East Village where there's signs on the little street poles and stuff. Hey joggers, we see you running around here without your masks on. We got a lot of old people in this neighborhood. We will throw shit down from our windows at you. They're like
I love it.
I know. So.
Mass shaming. I love it. And even like people who are running for Congress, you don't see people who are in high political office swearing much on social media just because it does turn certain people off. Like we know that. Like that's just the way life is. There's a congresswoman she's running for Congress and she's just like, just stay the fuck inside. Like almost every one of her tweets is F-bombs about, I'll fucking kill you if I don't see you if you're outside without a mask, you little bitch.
Oh, you should. Whoa. The government people in different countries, the ones in Italy were like, listen up, motherfuckers.
Oh,
like,
yeah, those old so good, Italian mayors.
Yeah, they were
you
awesome.
Go inside. Well, but if you have an Italian accent, you could do that. You can get away with it.
Oh, for
Germany,
sure.
too.
Mm.
So anyway. Imagine pissing off the mayor in a Polish company.
Oh, no.
City like we talked about last week. Yikes, that wouldn't be good at all. Also, what wouldn't be good at all, if you were fucking around on a plane and it had you made three Marines day. That's what happens in round number two. Kate, explain to us what happens on the not-so-friendly skies.
Yes, first of all, I put a picture in here for you guys to see. Mm. These three infantry Marines, especially the one in the middle, that's a big boy right there. That is a yoked motherfucker. Guy on the right, this looks like pretty ripped. These are three strong men.
They all look like they do their superior PFTers.
Mm. Yeah, superior PFTers right there. These are class, what are they, class A, whatever. These guys are great.
Class
Anyways.
One, stolen valor, Kate's trying to get him.
But you know, yeah, fuck me. You know when you get out of boot camp or when you move up a McNap belt or something, you go up to the bars for the first time and you're like, I wish a motherfucker would.
Oh, yeah.
You got a real
case. I still
think
that.
Wish a motherfucker would. I, on my first flights after boot camp, I had this very sharp old school style pen. that I would keep in my bag. And I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would.
Like a fountain pen with the gold tip?
Yes, it was like a fountain pen. And I was like, I got it right here. I know which pocket it's in.
And not only that, but once I'm done, I could suck out your chest wound.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be able to fix it too. But yeah, weapons, a little something called a weapon of opportunity. Maybe
ever heard of it?
Yeah, ever heard of it? So anyway, these guys must have had a case of the wish a motherfucker woods because then they took full advantage of it. Three Marines detained a passenger during an international flight from Japan to Texas on Monday, and they did it in the most grunt way imaginable by stacking up outside of the lavatory where the man had barricaded himself, yanking him out.
And I wonder if they tapped each other on the ass, like, ready.
And for those who don't know, stacking up is exactly what it sounds like. You have people, you're like nut to butt, right behind, and then when the first person's ready to go, bam, all of you run in.
It's like clearing a room. You've seen it if you watch any show, like a SWAT team going in where they get up on the door, they're ready to go in.
That's usually the reason, though, to stack on a door, not to get inside an airplane bathroom.
At least there's not, when you're in a plane bathroom, there's not very many corners that you have.
No, they found it pretty quick, I imagine. But they stacked up, they burst through the door, and then they took him down, they threw him on the ground, they got him with zip ties, and then they kept security on him for the rest of the flight. They also provided security.
They had fire watch.
Yeah, according to a Marine Corps press release, Captain Daniel Colt, Sergeant John Dietrich, and PFC Alexander Meinhardt, all from 1-6 at Camp Lejeune, were returning to the States from Okinawa when the passenger locked himself in the bathroom and began making threatening comments. While watching a movie during my flight, I started to hear screaming coming from the restroom on board, Dietrich said, an infantry assault section leader. What a stupid man who hopped in that bathroom. When I took my headphones off, I heard a man sounding very distraught and screaming. Then this is how the Marine Corps describes it in their official statement. The Marines stacked up outside the lavatory and prepared to subdue the passenger while a flight attendant unlocked the door. The Marines seized the passenger and restrained him with flex ties. The Marines secured the unruly passenger to a seat and then continued to provide security the remainder of the flight. And this is what Colt had to say. We're trained for it and it paid off today. We just assessed the situation and acted. Working with the flight crew, we got the door open and from there worked together. We didn't take time to talk it over. We just got ready and did what we needed to help. That makes me so. That's fucking Marines. That's infantry. That's grunt. We're just going to get up there. 1-6 in the house. We're going to kick your ass.
But you know what the bullshit about this is, Kate?
What?
That this fucking. The captain is going to get a Navy and Marine Corps medal.
Right.
The sergeant's going to get a NAB, and then the PFC is going to get a letter of appreciation.
Yep. He's going to get firewatched because he had unauthorized shoes on when it happened.
I noticed when you're on that overnight flight, you didn't have a fresh shave. Devil Dog, I know we go to the head and shave before we get on a damn plane.
Yeah, what, exactly.
What movie?
Me too thing.
He mentions that he was watching a movie. What movie was he watching?
I hope Taken, honestly.
Yeah.
Correct answer is Steel Magnolias. But
Steel Magnolias. Oh. I was going to say Steel Magnolias too. He's probably watching. He was probably all when she goes into the diabetic shock. He was probably right at that moment. And
he's like, pumping. Oh.
I thought you were going to say that he was watching Dirty Dancing, and the guy that got subdued, his girlfriend came around and was like, "Nobody puts baby in the corner."
Yeah, somebody put that man in the corner. But also, too, for that guy, I mean, read the room. And those three guys are clearly pretty yoked. I would have thought, maybe I'll freak out in the next flight, you know? But
yeah, you got to look around before you have a flight freak out. Failing the plan is a plan to fail.
You know, credit to these guys, though, because how often do you find yourself reading something in the news about a situation and you say, well, if I was there, kind of like Mark Wahlberg on 9/11, mm-hmm. wouldn't have happened if I was there. But more often than not, you wouldn't have done anything. So for these guys to actually have done what they did, I think is pretty commendable.
Yeah, and probably a huge relief for the other people on the plane, too. So big shout out to these Marines for 1-6.
And a bucket list item. God, I would love
to. I know. Wish a motherfucker would.
It's one time in your life that you could say you thwarted something.
Yes.
I always want to thwart something.
Now at the bar, they can say, motherfucker did.
Yeah.
And you know.
Prove it. I got the picture right here.
Yeah.
You know what's great about this story, too? It's like right now it's in the news. It's like, oh, the guy had threatening comments. 10, 20, 30 years from now, that story's just going to get more and more embellished. Before you know it, that guy was strapped with C4 with an AK-47.
One of the guys from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's move on to round number 3. Is that it, Kate? You got anything else for that?
No, that's it. Just that they had to divert the flight to LAX then. Which is a bummer if I was the Marine.
No, it's not. It's not a bummer going to LAX. Let me tell you why.
Spaghetti.
The best USO in the biz. Oh. Go there. You can load up on snacks. Okay. You are all tired from fucking handling this dude. Next thing you know, your cargo pockets are stuffed full of weenies.
All right. Touche. You're correct. Good for them, though. Shout out to 1-6. That's awesome. Big on these guys.
No doubt. All right. Let's move on to round number three. And it's a game, courtesy of old Katie's brain. Let's get going with it.
All right, so this is a 10-question kind of quizzical for both of you. And I came up with this last night around 3 in the morning, I don't know, and I was cackling with laughter. I thought it was such a funny idea.
Which is usually a good sign.
So we'll see. So I don't know. I guess we're just going to play it out. I'm going to ask you these questions. I'm going to let you both answer, and then we'll go from there. So
okay.
Question number one. What would you name your battleship if you had one?
Cons first.
Yep.
I want nothing to do with a naval battleship, so I would name it something like one of Bart Simpson's prank call name when he would call Moe's Tavern.
Oh, like Bend Over.
Yeah, like Bend Over or you know, Oliver Clothesoff.
Okay. The USS Oliver Clothesoff. Battleships.
Wrong. The answer is Old Colonel Floatington. Question number two. What's the closest thing to real magic in the military?
My answer is planes.
Cons?
Wow, that's tough. I don't know.
Whatever comes to mind.
I was gonna say that seemingly how there's just idiotic privates, no matter what branch.
He asked Cons to be prepared, and he wasn't.
And he
even said it in the sheet.
Oh my
he's
God.
Not prepared.
The answer is MRE heaters. You're both wrong. Mm. What is number three?
That's true. Good point, Kate.
That is good.
I would
that's a good
take
point.
Years over planes. What? So I understand that shit. A chemical reaction? What does that mean?
Don't believe in it. Don't think it's real.
Hand up. I did review these. I don't know what you meant by this next question.
Yeah, this one was tough. You could tell it was Katie Sleepy. wrote this
what,
one.
What is it? So you know how situation.
No, don't explain it. Just read it how you did it.
Okay. What is another popular saying that snafu is used for? It's an acronym. So what is it also broken down for? It's situation normal, all fucked up, but it's also another one.
Oh, so what else does it mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I the way I interpreted that question, I went with FUBAR. That's
oh,
the
FUBAR.
One. FUBAR.
Yeah. Okay. Cons?
Shit. Not after feeding you.
It's actually sniffing nuns' asses from underneath. They say that all the time. Number four. What is the worst smelling place in the entire military?
For me, it's where the bucket of nasty spilled on the flight line in Okinawa, Japan.
Okay.
For me, I would say it's the 2-mile course at West Point because it goes right by the water treatment plant, so you smell poop the entire time you're running 2 miles.
Wrong again. It is the Fort Bliss Fuck Shack. Number five. What celebrity? Last night I had tears streaming down my face. I was like, number five. What celebrity from a military film would you rate as a perfect 10?
Now you go first.
Now, your instincts would say Kevin Costner in The Guardian.
Yes.
But it's actually Taylor Kitsch in Lone Survivor.
Oh.
When he walks out in the beginning of that movie and he's just shredded.
I have two.
Go ahead.
Okay. One, Hillary Duff and Cadet Kelly.
Close. Yeah. I can see it.
And number two, Bruce Willis in Tears from the Sun.
Ooh.
Those are good ones, but you're both wrong. The only perfect 10 in a military movie ever is a 2015 box office smash Aloha. As you can probably all recall, military contractor Brian Gilchrist, a.k.a. Bradley Cooper, reconnects with his old flame Tracy Woodside, a.k.a. Rachel McAdams. But guess what? She's now married to an Air Force recruit and perfect 10, John Krasinski.
True. You could also
say... Is that a real movie?
Yes, it is.
And it
I've
was
seen
a,
it.
It lost $67 million in the box office.
Never heard of this movie, and that's a star-studded cast.
So it was so bad. That's why it's so crazy that the only perfect 10 in a military movie is John Krasinski in an Air Force movie.
Do we think John Krasinski is hot, or do we think he's hot because he's funny?
Oh, I think
like
no,
just
now,
on
no,
itself,
no.
He's not that hot, right? Like,
I disagree. I disagree.
I think he's... I mean, he's a solid 7.5, 8.
That's
but you know his personality,
hot.
So it makes it so much better.
He's a 10 because he's attainable.
I think he's better looking now with the military, the shorter haircut, than when he was Jim with the kind of messy
hair. Oh, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. So is Steve Carell. Steve Carell is smoke show right now.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Plus, John Krasinski's one of those people you don't expect him to be ripped, but then he is, and you're like,
oh, that's bullshit. Like Chris Pratt, when Chris Pratt got... Get fat again, Chris Pratt, you piece of shit.
Yeah, he doesn't
want you
ripped.
To be that funny and ripped.
No.
He's in my saved rounds, by the way. He's got in a non-military thing.
That's why I thought of it.
Number six. What is the nicest military base in the United States?
Camp David.
Hans?
Ooh, good one. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. I'm going to say...
Annapolis, wow.
shit, now I just left my... But out in Hawaii, Schofield Barracks. Schofield Barracks.
Oh, yeah, that is beautiful. Yeah.
Actually, it is Ammunition Depot, Indian Island, in Port Hadlock, Washington. The Navy base only has 12 active duty personnel, but they are the nicest 12 active duty personnel in the whole Navy. That is why it is the nicest base. Number seven.
Jesus Christ.
Number seven. If you had to join another nation's military, what country are you going with?
Norway.
That's got to be Australia.
Wow. Trick question. Neither of you love the United States. I would never answer that. I would never serve another country. Number eight, if you had to join another U.S. military branch, what are you going with?
Coast Guard.
Oh, yep. I love boats, but I would never join the Navy, so it's got to be the Coast Guard.
Okay, that's allowable. That was actually the correct answer, finally, for both of you. That's because of the movie
Guardian.
We
love the Coast Guard. We're probably the preeminent lovers of the Coast Guard of any podcast.
I have to say, for all my Navy hate, I love, love, love going out on boats and being on the water. So I need to love the Coast Guard.
Now, I feel like in the military, you know, in Jarhead, where it's like he does the whole tour and then he never gets one shot off after all that buildup,
yeah.
You know? I feel like if you get out of the Coast Guard and you don't have a photo of you on a boat with a shit ton of Colombian bam-bam behind you, you feel like you missed out on something big.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you gotta at least walk away with 200 tons of nose beers and one tour of service.
Yep, I agree. If you had to pick another MOS, what are you going with?
That's not a fucking question that was on the list.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to answer this properly.
Well, I fucked up. Anyone?
I would say I would probably do... Avalanche goofing like that fella from last week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same?
No, I don't know. Shit. Maybe I'd be a dog handler.
Well, the correct answer is naval entomologist, aka a bug, like they're a bug scientist. Did you know you
Oh, no, I'd be a falconeer. I'd be a falconeer.
Sorry, but the answer is bug person.
Damn.
And that way you can walk up to the people on the ship and say, hey, nothing's bugging you guys, right? Also, this is 3 a.m. I'm so tired.
Two more.
Okay. What ridiculous thing has someone tricked you into doing or believing?
That Jesus, when he turned water into wine, it was non-alcoholic wine.
Hmm. Hans?
Before my deployment, when my buddy said, don't worry, it's not going to be that bad.
No, this is one that all military folks fall for when they first get in. I know it got me good. That squeezing MRI peanut butter onto your genitals will prevent you from chafing on long hikes. Yikes, am I right? Big cleanup. Number 10, if you had to fight another war in the past, what would you pick?
Probably Panama. Panama, just so I could say, oh yeah, I jumped into Panama.
Oh. Mine would be, I would be part of the Unsullied when Daenerys has them and they kill all the masters in season 3, episode 4, just to see her light people on fire with a dragon would be sick.
Way wrong. It is the Johnston family prank wars of the summer of 1993. The South Dakota family of 7 spent a whole summer goofing, putting whoopee cushions under seats, dropping buckets of water on each other, and putting saran wraps on doorways. By all accounts, it was the funnest war ever.
I'm going to have to review these more in the future, honestly.
I got to tell you, though, I can't say that I'm surprised because I got this email with the sheet at like 2:30 a.m., so I had to know it was good.
Last night, every fake answer I wrote, I was like snorting. I was like, this is going to crush tomorrow. And then as I started doing it today, I was like,
well, we should have had a disclaimer at the beginning of the round. Wait until like 2:45 in the morning when you're super tired. Then go back and listen to this portion of the podcast. It's at 2:40 a.m.
Yes. If you can't sleep, go back, listen to this bad boy. It'll make way more sense. So, yeah. Hey,
all right. Let's move
everybody.
On to round number 4, which features another superstar military movie guy and Tom Cruise. What's going on with Tommy?
He's one. Can I say There's certain celebrities that just give me the heebie-jeebies. Tori Spelling is the first one that comes to mind.
Big heebie-jeebies vibes from Tori Spelling. Yeah.
I can't look at her. I can't.
Do you know
look
who
at
else
her.
I get it from?
Who?
And this one's sneaky. I don't know if Cons is going to appreciate this or not. Brooke Shields.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, she seems weird.
Brooke Shields is a fucking weirdo, right?
Yeah, but you know there's certain celebs that like some people think are like hot stuff, but then you look at them and you're like, yeah, Tom Cruise is definitely one of those for me.
Did she fuck her brother in Return to the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, I think so. But it was, yeah,
I'm pretty
sure
she stepped on like a rockfish and then fucked her brother.
Yeah, that was a pretty pivotal scene when I was growing up.
Yeah,
like,
and it was a big time thing because Brooke Shields was underage and her titties were flying about.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. So let me just say real quickly about Tom Cruise. This is going to be a controversial take. Tom Cruise hasn't made a good movie since Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Well, anyways, he might be making another good one soon. NASA has confirmed that the Hollywood star is planning to film a movie in outer space and added that the filming will take place, above the international,
Keep going, sister.
Tom Cruise is doing a fucking movie on the International Space Station. Since it's 2020, and this is how our government communicates with us now, NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine confirmed the news in a tweet writing, NASA is excited to work with at Tom Cruise on a film aboard the at Space Station. We need popular media to inspire a new generation of engineers and scientists to make at NASA's ambitious plans a reality. So in a way, it's kind of like how sometimes the military will help a film with like tanks and planes and shit like that because they know it'll actually help.
Well, like
get
Top
more...
Gun, whenever Top Gun came out, people wanted to be fighter pilots. Like they were overwhelmed with people that wanted to do it.
They had recruiters set up outside the theaters, even.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So they're trying to drum up a little more pizzazz for space and all that shit.
Because nobody thinks being an astronaut's cool, I guess.
Yeah. No. Super
yeah, that's
lame.
Not cool enough by itself.
Yeah. Well, this event seems predestined, and by the way, this is from James Barber at military.com. This event seems predestined. Space program fans will remember that Cruise narrated the... Who the fuck's going to remember this? Space program fans will remember that Cruise narrated the 2012 IMAX documentary, Space Station 3D.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see that? IMAX?
It's been playing for 2 decades now.
Dude, it's
sure.
unbelievable. You gotta... I'm just kidding. I haven't seen it yet.
I was like,
I didn't know it existed.
Get out of here. Yeah. But cool facts about the International Space Station. It's been continuously occupied by American, Russian, and Japanese, European, and Canadian astronauts since 2012. The 20th anniversary of its first occupancy is coming up on November 2nd. Do you think... Is there smells in space? If you fart in space, could you like...
Oh, yeah.
Over.
I bet it's like the shower where it's even worse because it just bubbles around.
Like, they've been in there since 2002. This whole big group.
That whole place smells like farts, yeah.
That whole place is just a big fart. I wonder if they have to release them sometime.
The bathrooms on planes or on space stations are wild because they actually, like, suck your poop out like a vacuum.
I bet every time you have to poop in space, you're just like...
It's
like,
so embarrassing.
It's like when you have to walk your dog in a rainstorm or something. You're like, fuck, I really don't want to do this. Like, you know.
But you know what would be cool? If they had like a little bubble, like a porthole that you just stuck your butt in, like a squatty potty.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Shit out into space.
Yeah, and you get to watch it out the window.
But if there was another plane or what space station coming behind you and you got shit on their window, they'd be pissed.
But if you had one go through the atmosphere and people saw it, streaking across the sky, what a flex.
And you come back and you're like Scott Kelly, like his beautiful wife, and you're telling him like where it'll look and everything. Like, look up there. You see that? She's like, oh, is that Saturn? No, that's a burrito.
That's your husband's turd flaming across the sky. Anyways, Tom Cruise, whatever. The space station measures, it's almost 300, it's a little over 350 feet end to end. It's about 1 football field long. I did not realize.
How did they get it up there?
I guess they've been building it and building it.
Yeah,
and
they just
it.
Brought it up in parts and put it together.
I had no idea that it was a football field long.
That's huge.
It's huge. I had no idea. It normally only has 6 astronauts. So just how Tom Cruise, other actors, a director, cinematographer, and the rest of the Hollywood crew are going to find living quarters on board is a mystery. The ISS has been featured in popular movies before. It's a key player in Roland Emmerich's 2004 sci-fi thriller The Day After Tomorrow. In the movie Gravity, it's in there. The 2017 horror film Life with Jake Gyllenhaal.
You know how, like, in Generation Kill, when they start talking about attachments, like, Iceman hates fucking when the photographer gets there, or the writer, the journalist.
Yeah.
Imagine how astronauts feel when Tom Cruise come aboard, like faking the funk, doing all this stuff. And also, Tom Cruise is way too old to be doing that. They need to have a new hottie body on there. Like Zac Efron would be perfect.
I pictured too, like they're all waiting for it and they're like, if this motherfucker tries to start selling Scientology on us,
yeah,
we're going to just
space, huh?
Yeah.
You like robots.
Yeah. You know what? Tom Cruise, enough, guy.
I know, dude.
We don't need you to do a movie in space. I'm not impressed by this. And also, to your point, chaps, these people work their entire lives to become astronauts and go up to the space station, and he's just going to waltz up there and just make a movie willy-nilly? For 6 days?
Yeah. Well, I will say.
F out of here, Tom.
Get out of here.
I will
say.
Kick
the rocks, Tom. Kick rocks, Tom.
Wow, yikes. We are approaching the time, though, where, like, space tourism is fast approaching. I really do believe that. So maybe there's been some advancements that are going to be popping soon. And
go ahead. Sorry.
The final factoid that I didn't know about, I thought more interesting than Tom Cruise going to space was the shit about the space station. I never knew that. It was like a football field long. Depending on the launch date, Cruise could become one of the three oldest humans in space. Number three slot is held by space tourist Dennis Tito, who at age 60 paid $20 million for the chance to spend 8 days aboard the ISS. I have no idea that even happened. Where was I when that happened?
If I was a billionaire, I'd do that in a second. Like, if you're a billionaire, what's $20 million?
Yeah.
To be one of the oldest people or just to go to space, you got to do it.
If you have that much money, the only reason to have that much money is to do stuff that nearly
no one else can
do.
Because so then when you go to a bar, go to a bar and this dude's like, oh, so you're thumbing through Instagram looking at pictures of your grandkids. That must be cool. Anyways, here's me on the space station. Like, you automatically are the coolest guy at the bar.
I would imagine, though, if you're a poor person in Dennis Tito's town and you see him going by, you're like, oh, how was space? That must be like, motherfucker. Like,
oh, yeah. Struggling to eat, my friend.
Here's the last thing I'll say about the space station. What cojones it must have taken the first people once that thing was to complete to say, like, oh yeah, this thing they just built in outer space, yeah, I'll go live in that. You don't know, that thing could collapse any minute and you're just going to go live in that thing.
Or the first people to put it up there, like the first piece. If you're putting the first piece, that's basically like you got to find the edge corner of a puzzle. Like, that's the first thing that you got to do.
Yeah. You don't want to drop a nail, you know, when you're trying to hammer
They definitely have a lot of magnets and stuff going on there. But being in the space station, I don't like the idea of people floating about up there. It just seems completely unnatural to me. I think that we just got to stay out of space.
This is poop and farts and everything. This kind of took my mind into the gutter. How awesome would it be
to have a wet dream in space?
To be a dude in space, whack it, and then just watch your fly right across the space station.
It would be pretty cool, I gotta admit. But I don't know, it would come out like mashed potatoes, right? Like super thick.
No, it would come out.
Wait, Kate, you're saying no. How do you know?
Yeah, I think it would be like squeezing piping out of a bag.
Could like actually, like, piping. You know what space gum would be like, okay? Nobody like knows.
I would imagine space gum, and then you have somebody like Duffy from the Baltimore cake shop come in and just make something beautiful on like an MRE pound.
No, it would be little beads probably, and there's probably an awkward moment where one slips past the door and it's like, uh-oh. There's two people playing.
And then you gotta try to chase it down with like a space tissue. Right, you're like floating through, and you're pulling yourself through, and you're like, "Oh, got it!" You have to do a Randy Moss one-handed catch, or you're cum in space.
Yeah, like there goes Tom. He's probably chasing a cum beat again. Fucking A. But also, do you think there's ever been sexy times?
Oh, definitely.
I have
at
to
least
imagine.
Cyber.
Definitely cyber. No, definitely cyber.
No,
but
I'm talking
between
about
two individuals, I have to imagine, yes, it has happened.
Now, what about this? You have people who are already space qualified, because there's a lot of people that are space qualified, like at NASA, that don't get the opportunity to go. If you ran a place like Apple or Google and you wanted to have the most watched show of all time, do Big Brother, but in space or the real world. The moon.
And then make it a fuck shack.
Yeah, like they're like, oh, we're going to, what do they call it? The smash pad on Jersey Shore?
Smash room.
Yeah,
smash going room. To the smash room. Have Sammy and just bring the whole dude.
Jersey
Shore,
Shore
goes to space?
Oh my God. I would watch
Sign
that.
Sign me up.
Snooki in space.
Bring that duck phone up there. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
That'd be great.
I hope people are listening.
They have their astronaut outfits all fucking spray painted like the air paint.
Yeah,
I love it.
With two bottlenose dolphins making a heart on it.
Oh, girl, dream.
All right, let's move on to the next round. I forgot which one it is. I think it's four. Yeah, it's round four.
Little GoFundMe goofing. Kicking off this round, wanted to ask, have you guys ever seen a cringeworthy, military or not, but a GoFundMe that made you be like, oh God?
Plenty.
All the time. I mean, yeah. Honestly, with our platform, we get sent them all the time. And yeah. That's something that's difficult because we do have to sort through like ones that are really noble and something needs to happen. Like a kid has a terminal illness or something like that. And they're like, hey, can you help get the word out about this? And you're like, absolutely. But sometimes things come across your radar that are just like, yikes, man, I can't believe you fucking did that.
Yeah, I saw one a couple years ago where it was a military man saying he had a GoFundMe to help send his family to Disney. And it was very much along the lines of like, I'm serving your country. Can you help me serve my family by sending us to Disney? And it made me want to I was like, what the fuck is this? No. Oh my God, no. Like, it's so embarrassing. But I also saw a couple others. These were ones that I found just scrolling through. Help me throw money at these strippers is GoFundMe. help me pay for my 21st birthday, $525. Going bald, need hella hats, help. That got $83. Removal for my forehead tattoo, that one raised $1,079. I love this one the most. I need a car to bring you this dick. And it's a picture of a guy with his shirt off, and that one got $0. And then midlife crisis squirrel tattoo got $620. So there's all sorts of different reasons for GoFundMes. But in the military, like the one I saw, that's actually a no-go. That is not allowed. Soldiers are starting to turn to, because COVID-19 and everything going on, there are military members getting fucked with this right now. And who, maybe they will get compensated eventually, but they're stuck in between moves. They're stuck somewhere else. Or their spouse has lost their job.
I mean, 33 million people in the last 2 months have filed for unemployment. Yeah. Like, it is an issue that is serious, and it's widespread, and it's all across the country. 33 million people in 2 months is a record by far.
So, and that has been causing, I'm sure, a lot of military families are really struggling right now. That's without a doubt. But the Army sent out a reminder that you still can't be turning to GoFundMes for stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Soldiers who turn to crowdfunding websites to solve COVID-19 related financial troubles may end up breaking Army standards of conduct, according to an Army legal expert. Soldiers are still getting paid, but as we said, spouses aren't so lucky. That's why the Army recently put out a reminder, stay away from Kickstarters, GoFundMes. According to the Associate Deputy General Counsel of the Army Office of General Counsel, John Kent, he said, it's problematic for soldiers to solicit funds or gifts on crowdsourcing platforms. For starters, soldiers are not allowed to use their status as a member of the Army to solicit money for themselves or someone they know. And they cannot accept money from prohibited sources either, of which there are many. So you can do one, but you cannot anywhere in it allude to your military status.
It's the same thing as like political shit, where you can go out and be like political, but you can't do it as a lieutenant colonel in the Army. Like, you can't do that.
And even if you don't mention you're in the military, there's still certain sources that you cannot accept money from. And there's a whole lot of them. So you've got this base rule that precludes you from accepting gifts based on your status as a soldier. Mm-hmm. And then when you crowdsource, you're going to be getting donations from lots of people. And
isn't that the annulments clause? Isn't that what that's called?
How the
fuck do you say that word? Annulments?
Yeah, but there's all sorts of, it gets very sticky. And then once somebody else in your unit sees it and blah, blah, blah. But the only bummer about this whole article I was reading, at nowhere did they say like, and not that it's the newspaper's fault or whatever, but like Kent and that whole group, whatever that is, like, here's where you can turn if you are in the Army having financial trouble. I know the Marine Corps has like the Marine Corps Relief Fund and other stuff. But it is embarrassing, too. I feel like a lot of people would rather turn to Kickstarter than to tell their command, I'm struggling to, like, feed my family right now. Like, that's a really hard thing to do. So, but I don't know.
Emoluments clause is what I was looking for.
Emoluments clause.
That's what it is, where the Constitution prohibits any person holding a government office from accepting any present emolument, office, or title from a king, prince, or foreign state without congressional consent, or anybody else like that can be in that type of situation too. Very interesting, like whenever you think about it, because there are people that are struggling, and you not only are you trying to feed your family or have shelter for your family, but in the military, if you don't pay your bills, that's an NJP thing too. Like, that's UCMJ shit. So you're freaking out. Not only do you have your bills to pay, but you don't want the bill collectors to be coming at your company first sergeant or company commander asking where the fuck your their money is and things like that. You are fucked on so many different levels.
It affects your security clearance. Just don't know. Your security clearance gets fucked too if you're if you're not making payments. But so
I had a dude. I'm sorry, just real quick. I had a dude one time. He put all his bills in a fake name and thought like, "Oh, I'll be good. My credit won't get destroyed." And then you know, I had to go to his house and explain to him why the world doesn't work like that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And being in a financial hardship is so embarrassing already. Like anytime when you're dealing with debt collectors or anything like that, just not having money is a source of embarrassment on a personal level. Then getting yelled at because you don't have it, and the insinuation that you're a piece of shit or that you bit off more than you can chew. Who saw a pandemic coming? Nobody. Like you, and you're in such a bad situation. Like if your spouse or your partner who brings home a little bit more money than you or the same money as you, and all of a sudden that's gone, or even just a secondary job where they're cutting hair or they're doing this or doing that, and that's what normally keeps the lights on because you're living paycheck to paycheck, like I believe 70% of the military does, you are fucked.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. It is a tough cycle. They kind of, the military kind of damns you. But I remember when we were in California, Chaps. I don't know if you, maybe it was just me that went out to the bars that night, but my driver was active duty Marines.
Oh yeah. You told me about that. He's a staff sergeant.
And I was like, are you like, I won't say anything, but are you allowed to do this? And he's like, not really, but a ton of us do. And he's like, he's like, I got three kids, so I just do this on the side. So a lot of people, because you're not supposed to do that either. Like,
I'll tell you what,
or being pornos, like
yeah.
I'd say if I was in command and I heard, you know, some of my NCOs or low enlisted were doing Uber or Lyft, honestly, I think I would just turn a blind eye to that. Because, they're going to be driving their car. I understand the implications and why they're not supposed to do it by the letter of the law. But if you have a big family to take care of, you know, it doesn't pay in the military a lot of times, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to close it out, if you do need to do a GoFundMe and you're in the military, do something like, I need a car to bring you this dick kind of.
But
GoFundMe.
Interesting enough, didn't that lieutenant general say that starting up, if you're a pretty sexy member, you can do an OnlyFans and that's not an issue?
That's true. OnlyFans super allowed. And I promise you, I bet you money there are couple military folks.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a fetish. I think there's a tab of it on Pornhub where you can go to it. That would be a definite thing. Like if you were living in the barracks and in like military porn, oh yeah, be big time. Yeah.
Honey, we're making it OnlyFans.
And I'm selling my panties. All right, let's move on to round number five. We're gonna do a little SIF gear goofing. Head out to the platoon because you guys always have the best answer for that. So let me set the scene a little bit for our civilian listeners. The SIF is the consolidated what? Something?
It's not the central issue. It's not central issuing facility.
Central issuing. Sorry, SIF. So SIF is a central issuing facility. So it's basically like the supply point. Whenever you go to a new base, or if you're leaving your base or going to a new unit, you go by the SIF because they're going to give you your pack. They're going to give you your flak and Kevlar. They're going to give you essentially every piece of gear that you could possibly need. And more so than that, they're going to give you a shit ton of stuff that you don't need, like cold weather gear and all this different Gore-Tex top and bottom. You're just going to have essentially probably totaling $2,000 or $3,000 worth of gear given it to you at any base you go to, and then you're supposed to keep up with it for the next however long you're at this base.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you do that, the people that work at the SIF are usually known as being assholes, right, Kate?
Yeah, known as being pretty big assholes. It can be. I mean, one of the biggest
they might be
nightmares.
Lovely. We don't know, but they come off as assholes.
Well, it's probably also that the people, the higher ups in charge of them, are shitting down their throats all the time.
Oh,
so they're
time.
Like, oh, God damn it, they're kind of stuck.
But well, it's a huge power trip, too.
A huge power trip.
Because you could turn someone away for the silliest of things.
When some pogue that's been getting ripped on for being a pogue for 3 years, and then the infantry bubbas come in to turn in their stuff, and they're like, think again, bitch. Who's in charge? Who's the bad bitch now?
Yeah.
But anyway. So we asked
what line.
Back of the line. We asked, what are your biggest SIF nightmares? And it is, like, I remember turning in my gear, took 4 days, probably about 8 hours of just standing in line, getting rejected for one thing or the next or the next. It was, I'm pretty sure at one point I was in my old little Hyundai Sonata in tears because I, like, couldn't get through SIF and get out. Yeah. It was like, fuck, motherfuckers. Anyway, right off the bat, as soon as we asked this question, Jake the Snake 11 said, NCIS has joined the chat, because a lot of times SIF, it's so hard to get your shit turned in. This is the root of most of the stealing in the Marine Corps.
You'll find it on eBay and things like that. People will put up their military gear. For instance, if they can't do a GoFundMe, they're like, you know what? Somebody will buy this Molly pack. I almost messed up and said a word that we're not supposed to say. A gear lover out there that really loves gear, and they'll pay a pretty penny for the military grade stuff.
Yo, and a lot of the gear that you get issued is fairly expensive. Like your sleep
very expensive.
I had no idea. I got in the military, and the sleep system, that's like a $350, $400 sleep system.
Glad you said that, because that is definitely one of those on the list here. A veteran with a sign said, EAS'd in 2011, and I'm still here in line. Honestly, I believe it, veteran with a sign. Trevor Hartwell, speaking of that little tent bag, he said he lost his in basic training, and it's just this thin little bag with drawstrings on it. Mm-hmm. As soon as he lost it, he went and told his DIs. They did a report on it. SIF turned back around. They turned over the tent. They kept sending him back and forth. He reminded them again, hey, I reported this. Stolen one at the first FTX that we went to. I was told not to worry about it. And then the morning of his graduation, he had to sign a paper saying he had to purchase the entire tent for $600, even though he still had the tent, because the tent bag was missing. And he said, they took over $600 out of my paycheck and wouldn't let me keep the non-complete tent.
And that's like a third of the money that you walk away from boot camp with. That's a pretty substantial sum for somebody that's just getting started. For anybody, I mean, $600 losing that sucks. Yeah. But that's they actually, also, like, people don't know, too, in the military, it's not just that you lose it and then you have to pay for it. You lose it, then you have to get your commanding officer, not company, battalion-level officer, to sign off that you lost the gear.
Yeah, and then you get shit on for it. To me, that kid had to pay $600 out of basic is a huge failure of leadership.
Big time.
That is garbage leadership right there. Mike V. Fitz says,
because all they have to do is write it off, be like, yeah, it was gone, and then nobody pays for it.
Exactly. We spend $1 trillion on an endless war. We can spare a tent, you know?
Right.
Mike B. Fitz had turned away from moisture in a canteen that I never opened.
That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. They can get you for whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah. How may I help you, said, when I ETS, when I got out of the military in 2018, I had some shit kicked back 3 times. So 3 times he tried to turn it in. 3 times they said, nope, nope, nope. It's either dirty or it smells or whatever. They kick things back. Even just if they're in a bad mood sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, when they finally accepted it, the dude looked at me and proceeded to throw it in the trash. So they sent it back 3 times. Broseph Flood said, wait for a 96 and go to SIF the day before or after. Sorry, the page jumped. Wait, okay, I'm going to skip that one. Cyberjock said, was kicked back 3 times last. God, sorry, these are really hard to.
Well, they're not written particularly well sometimes.
Yeah. Cyberjock said that his got kicked back 3 times because it didn't smell good. So he went to the laundry room, just like pretty much soaked it in Gain, brought it back, and the new guy didn't even smell it, just threw it in the bin. Somebody else said, I tried to turn in an e-tool case, that's a little shovel case, after I cleaned it, and he even soaked it in OxyClean, he said. Soaked it in a bucket of OxyClean. The SIF ref kicked it back saying I didn't clean it. I then take photos of me cleaning it, and so they went back again, and this time they documented themselves cleaning it. And then they brought it back and showed them the pictures. And then the guy ended up throwing it out anyway because it was worn with holes in it. So
is the e-tool the worst thing in the military?
Yeah, because you're not going to use it really anymore.
Right.
Like, there's not very many things. Yeah.
Like when they were in Mars just sleeping in the ground. I feel like that's very rare. But,
even if you have to use it sucks as a tool to use.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
There's one that they have in China, man. Have you ever seen the Chinese e-tool?
No.
Man, we got to post that. I'll blog that video. Because they have these e-tools. You could do fucking anything, man. Like chopping down a tree with it. You can go and you can scale walls with it. You can dig trenches. You can shoot it you can make it into a bow and arrow with fucking 550 cord. It does all kinds of stuff. I'm going to give the listener, though, some people, because we do have some junior service members, some advice. If you are that person who has told your chain of command that either your gear was lost on a field op, which you're not responsible for, or it was stolen, and they say that we're going to make you pay for it or you're not going to be able to leave, request masks or tell them to NJP you and then request for it to go to court martial. Because it will never happen. Never. Yeah. Like, they will never, you will never get away with that, because they'll just go to the battalion lawyers or the base lawyers. They will never go anywhere. You never have to pay for that stuff.
Fight the man. That's
Green tip. Most people cannabis. Don't know that, though.
Nope.
Yeah, most people don't know that. Green tip cannabis, as they were leaving Germany, there was a German national working at the counter. So a lot of times civilians work at SIF. And the only way this guy was going to accept his stuff is if he gave him his $100 Zippo, his super nice Zippo lighter. And he wondered. So he gave him the guy the $100 Zippo, and then the guy took a shit, and he wondered, how many times has this guy taken bribes to touch it? And that guy probably making a killing. I bet that happens.
Armor's making a shit ton of money for not creating weapons.
Put $20 in the barrel. This guy, Steve Kutz, said, I had to pay $580 to clear SIF at Fort Hood, and they had an ATM in the SIF.
Oh, my God, man.
So he had,
what a racket, dude.
Insane. I cannot believe they had an ATM in their SIF to pay for shit right
there. That's just insane. Insult to injury. All right, let's move on to
Sorry. I have to tell this. I know you guys are going to hate me. This might even cause Kyle, our producer, to come off mute and yell at me over the phone. But when I was leaving Fort Hood, I walked in to CIF, and I was turning my stuff in for the last time. It's my last week there. I walk in. The place is a mob scene. It honestly, hours and hours worth of a line to get my stuff turned in. I'm there 2 minutes. Some E5 just sees me, comes over. Hey, sir, come here. Brings me over to a table. He goes, everything here? I go, yep. He goes, what's your phone number? I give him my phone number. He signs off my little sheet. He goes, all right, if I need anything, I'll give you a call. You're good, sir. And I just walked out.
Yeah, the lower enlisted gets so fucked on that. Yeah. It's so sad.
Thank you. Oh, help me out. Oh, I'm so
I didn't
busy.
Ask for it. I didn't
Showing
ask
up
for
to
it.
Work at 10 a.m. Yeah.
But, but 3 days later, when I was leaving Fort Hood, I went back to CIF. I gave that dude $60.
Also, in closing, God damn it, military people. I love you all so much. Your sentences are very difficult to comprehend and read because they're all so fucked up, guys. Grammar.
Guys, get an education.
Well, they're probably texting while they're walking. That's why it's fucked up, and I'm disappointed on multiple levels.
But thank you to everybody. I just want to say, we get so many great responses, and every week I just really, really appreciate people taking the time to tell these stories and share them with us. I'm so glad we have them, even for posterity's sake. I saw that somebody commented on this to a bunch of their buddies, and every now and then I'll click to see like somebody type in comment, and it looks like somebody going into the military soon. And so he's like, yo dudes, read this. So they're like getting a little taste of what's to come. So anyways, I just really appreciate everybody who
yeah, that is one of the best things about like the modern internet too. Cause I remember when I was going to boot camp, I think it was Books A Million before that thing went out of business. And there was a big coffee table book on the history of the Marine Corps. And I remember buying that and reading that. And I read Jarhead before I went. But other than that, there wasn't many things that you could really find that prepared you for the, I would have loved a podcast like this and to have kind of like a little one up on what was going on and what was happening. I would have loved that shit.
Yeah.
Because so especially, I'm sure that coffee table book. I'm sure that coffee
you're
table book.
You're welcome for our service.
That coffee table book probably painted a very rosy picture of the Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah. I know all about the Battle of Way City before I got there. So that was super helpful when I had to scream it 1,000 times. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Two things real quick. We did on Tuesday's episode, we did things we want to do before we turn 50. And to the listeners, for some of you, I just want to say, how dare you come at us and say our list, you know, oh, Cons, it's so boring and West Point sucks. Oh, Chaps, you're trash for wanting a pontoon boat. Oh, Kate, this is a family website. Relax. Like, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah, we all have our desires.
Yeah, let us do what we want to do. Relax. Doesn't mean you have to do them with us.
Mm-hmm. I want to get my pooper punched in. I'll do so. Thanks very much.
Family, right, your family one, show. Con? And second one, did you guys see the trailer for the Space Force show with Steve Carell yet?
I am not watching it. I feel very Kate on this, like how Kate usually does about The Office or Friends, where I'm just like, I don't even want to look at it because this cast is so good and the premise of the show is so good that there's no way it can match up. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a shot, but I'm the same way. I'm leaning towards it's not going to be good, but I will still go into it with an open mind, which is actually contradictory to what I just said. But
there's only really been one show that I've ever gone into it with that type of expectations that met it, and it was when I went and watched Inglourious Basterds at the theater.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah. I had such high hopes, and when I went, I was like, that actually met all the high hopes I had and probably exceeded it too.
You're absolutely right, though. How many times do you go into a show and the best ones turn out to be the ones you had no expectations about or just stumbled upon? Like, I had no idea what Veep was. I just saw Julia Louis-Dreyfus, started watching that, and it turned out to be unbelievable, obviously. So I'll keep an open mind just because of the cast, but I don't know. I'm not overly hopeful.
Moon cameos are fire, though.
Those are pretty cool. Those are definitely pretty cool.
Very true.
Kate, what do you got?
New Navy SEAL TV show coming down the pipe, starring Chris Pratt. He's not getting chunked up again, chaps. I'm sorry. Mm. And it's called The Terminal Line, and it's about Navy SEALs. On our end, I feel like we would much rather see him in a show called The Terminal Lance, where he can get beefed up again. Yeah. Maybe he's in a BCT platoon, can't get out of it.
Just have his same character Andy as like a Terminal Lance.
Exactly. It's already written. I actually tagged Max Uriarte in it last night. Yeah, he's Motor T. He'd be perfect Motor T.
Yeah.
So there you go. But that's my only round.
With Chris Pratt, too. Chris Pratt's kind of too big to do a TV show, right? Like, he's
at this point, but
he's a bona fide A-list movie star.
This is a Netflix series, though, and I think it's different now, too,
with people. TV isn't what it used to be, especially with Netflix and all the different streaming services. I think it's much more common now for major movie stars to also do shows.
Okay, I want to close out with a note. I want to ask you guys a question. What do you think Tom Cruise's most underrated movie of all time is?
Wow, that's a really, really tough question.
Kate Googling Tom Cruise movies.
I'm not Googling. I'm going to say, for sure.
Oh, I know what it is. Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think they're well known and well liked, but either All the Right Moves or Risky Business, just because it was so early in his career, maybe.
Okay. Kate?
Oh, boy.
Oh, there's boy.
So many. I'm going to say it was probably Taps in 1981.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Big okay, movie. I think it's Interview with a Vampire. That movie's so good. I love Interview with a Vampire. Movie.
Yeah,
and people don't talk about it in his like good ones. And him and Brad Pitt and what's her name? Kirsten Dunst is in it too. Like, it's pretty star-studded cast.
Rain
as
Man.
Well.
He is Rain really Man's good. Great. Rain yeah. Man.
Yeah, Rain I think it's just it. His good ones are just so good. Jerry Maguire, Top Gun, A Few Good Men. That they just overshadow all these others.
Mission Impossible stinks. That whole trilogy stinks out loud.
Yeah.
What's the one where he's the lawyer and he's like, gotta hide from his wife and the law firm comes after him? That's a fucking good one, too.
Yeah, that is a good one.
You know what? I'm backing on Tom Cruise.
No,
but all those are really old. He hasn't done anything good in a long time.
Yeah.
Pre 96 Tom Cruise, before he went off completely off the deep end, is great. And then Tom Cruise currently, I don't need you, Tom, and I definitely don't need you in space.
I don't even care about Top Gun 2, honestly.
Oh, wait, Jack actually, I am pretty jazzed about Top Gun 2. I will say that.
Yeah.
That's it. It's on the retreat.